It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us this morning. And Mike, good morning to you, first of all. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for asking. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And sometimes we
jump. Does anybody ever really care when they ask someone how they're doing?
I do, because you know what? Somebody recently, it's funny you said that, and said, hey, do we have, and they go, oh, can't you say good morning first? Good morning, man. I'm sorry. I was just getting right to
hello.
It.
Can't you say nice to see you? Thanks for being here. Yeah, I saw that too.
Hey, I caught you by surprise, Mike, before I get into the cheat motion of what happened with Mike McDaniel. It's basically the Tyreek motion. The running start, but all of a sudden the league says, no. We're going to have to crack down on this thing. It's kind of been in place, but nobody's called it with that motion, him going full speed, going towards the line of scrimmage. Were you surprised all of a sudden it's a big deal a week before preseason starts up?
Well, let me tell you how this happened. Because there's been a little dust up in the aftermath of what we did. Every year the NFL issues a new rule book. And it's easy to spot the changes because they put them in red. So what I do is I start going through it page by page, and I look for the red. And when I see red, I stop it, I read it, I ask myself, what might this mean? And then, if I have any questions, I have people within the league's overall hierarchy that I can reach out to and say, what does this mean? So when I saw the language that was added to the rule book as it relates to false starts, I thought, this seems like, and here's the language, any eligible backfield player who changes his stance does not have to come to a complete stop prior to the snap as long as his actions are not abrupt or forward. And we know from seeing this cheat motion what makes it effective. It is abrupt. And if you watch closely in that split second before the snap, if they time it right, the guy does start forward, but they don't shut the play down because the play starts. So off you go. So I checked with people in the know, and the message to me was Miami, San Francisco, and the Rams. They do this. And you don't just add that language in to make it clear that you're allowed to do it. You put that language in there so people understand what the limits are. And, Joe, where it got weird yesterday, Sean Hockley, one of the referees at Rams camp, said this changes nothing about how we officiate the rule. And Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, one of the teams that does it, says this doesn't change anything. And I don't buy that. I mean, the referees have failed to enforce the rules, so they add a sentence to make sure the referees will properly enforce the rules. I don't expect the referees to say, you know, they put this in there because we should have been calling this and we didn't. So technically the rules don't change,
yeah.
But that language is put in there so the officials know, hey, guys, don't let this slide. Because we are seeing abrupt motion, and we are seeing guys move forward, and that's what makes it effective.
So I take it a step further. So some of the guys that do radio from the other team, CSC color analyst, it's close to the head coach or the coordinators, said, hey, we're just giving you a heads up. Our coaches complained about this Tyreek thing's illegal. He's going towards the line of scrimmage, making it almost impossible. And I remember Belichick and the Patriots, one of the teams that, hey, before the game, they're saying, hey, we just want to give you a heads up. It's illegal to be going forward when you're in motion.
Well, thank you. You're proving my point. You're proving my point, Joe. Thank you.
So I heard that, and I thought about some of the teams. I go, wow, you know, a few teams did that last year when we played, and trying to get, you know, see if they could get a call because it was effective. You've seen the highlights of Tyreek running all over the place, whether it's a deep square or in or running down the middle of the field past a couple of Washington players, it definitely works. So it'll be interesting.
Joe, something similar to that, too, and this just speaks to the fact that the officials don't always enforce the rules as written. That's one of the big problems I have with the NFL. They have rule books. The officials don't enforce the rules. How many times do we see a tackle, left side or right side, take off a split second early to get into his stance to try to fend off the pass rusher, and they don't shut the play down? Sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. And think about it, you're out there, and the plays start. Like, you see the thing happen. You have to process in your brain. Wait a minute, that's a foul. better throw the flag. Oh, crap, the play's already started. Oh, well, I'll just keep my flag in my pocket. These are human beings trying to process these things. So I think that sentence was put in there as a message to the officials and the teams. You're supposed to be stopping this from happening when you have abrupt motion and when you have guys moving toward the line of scrimmage before the snap.
Yeah. Well, let's get into number two. One of the reasons I watched that preseason game last night was to see what this kickoff was going to look like, the new kickoff. Eight kickoffs. One was a touchback last night. Basically, there was no blocking. Those 5 yards apart, those guys are two good athletes. Mike, nobody got touched, and the coverage teams are got a pretty good clean run at making tackles. What'd you think of it?
Well, but you know what, Joe? Here's what I was looking for. You see the guy catch the ball in the landing zone, and it doesn't take many strides to get past the 25. And the first few, like, they would get to the 27, 28, 26. And this speaks to something that I've heard from some folks who have been coaches. Like, I'll just give you the 30. If that avoids a long return,
right,
you get a Tyreek Hill back there, you get a great returner back there who can slip through one hole and then is gone, only has the kicker to beat. I'll just give you the 30 if I'm going to be giving you the 26, 27 anyway, because I'm taking off the table the possibility of the long run. So I think that's what we need to watch as this unfolds. And I had said at one point, like, by the trade deadline, half the league is just going to be kicking it out of the end zone. And after that, I talked to some people, and they're like, it may be right out of the gates, people just kick it out of the end zone and let the others be the guinea pig. But you're right. One thing we saw last night, now, it's a lot of backups. It's a lot of guys who never played in the NFL before out there executing these special teams. But you're right. If you can't make a block quickly, it's going to be hard for the return specialist to get past the tacklers. But they're still going to get past the 25-yard line with just a few strides because the ball has to land between the 0 and the 20.
Mike, the $4.7 billion lawsuit I thought was going to get beat up pretty good in favor of the NFL owners when it got to the Supreme Court. I was wrong. It happened earlier. What were your thoughts?
Well, and there's so many different things I can say about this. Look, this is strange to me because the judge made it clear in the 16-page ruling that came out last night just before the start of the Hall of Fame game that he has no quibble with the jury's decision that the Sunday ticket package, as it exists and as it's existed for 30 years, is an antitrust violation. And we don't have enough time to get into the details of why. Let's just accept the fact that it is. Jury found that it is. Judge had no basis to overturn that. What the judge said was, I don't like the evidence that the plaintiffs submitted to try to conjure a world without an antitrust violation, because that's how you figure out the damage. Okay, we know what happened in the real world. What happened in the real world was an antitrust violation, and here's what it cost everybody. They overcharged people so folks would watch CBS and Fox games in their local markets instead, and that's an antitrust violation, yada, yada, yada. So, okay, how would it have looked without that? And the plaintiffs put together different models through two expert witnesses, and the judge let them testify. The judge is the gatekeeper for expert witness testimony. The judge let them testify. Mm. The judge let the thing go to a jury. The jury comes up with $4.7 billion, and now the judge says, I shouldn't have let these guys testify. Well, what the hell? You knew before the case what the people were going to say, and you let them say it. And then they say it, and the verdict returns, and you don't like it, so you just throw the whole thing out. That's where I just look at this and say, I don't get it. And on top of it, Joe, we still have an established antitrust violation. Something needs to change. So I don't like the possibility that the NFL could just get away with continuing to have antitrust violations as long as they can be confident that no one's going to be able to sufficiently prove what the world would look like without it. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, it really does. And so let me ask you from here, what happens now? What happened? Is it done, or is this thing?
No, there's two levels of appeal in the federal system. Okay, this was in California, so California falls within the Ninth Circuit. There's like 12 or 13 circuits that the country is divided up into. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will take up the case. And earlier in this case, Joe, there was a judge that handled it before, and actually she passed away in the 9 years since the case was filed. She threw the case out. The Ninth Circuit reinstated the case. So it's already been thrown out once before, long before it got to trial. Ninth Circuit put it back in. So now the Ninth Circuit gets to do it again. After the Ninth, and then maybe the Ninth Circuit will resurrect this. I don't know. There's too many factors that go into it. There's randomness in the judges that get assigned to the case. There's all sorts of weird things that can still happen. Once the Ninth Circuit is done with it, whoever is on the losing side, because you're talking about $14.1 billion total, they're going to take it up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we'll see what happens there. So this isn't going away. The real question I have, why won't the judge issue an order saying you can no longer do Sunday Ticket as it currently is? Somebody needs to say to the NFL, you can't do this anymore. It's an antitrust violation. And the NFL is just going to go forward and continue to overcharge for Sunday Ticket so people will just choose to watch their games in market. You know, they love to say, we make all games of the local teams available right on free over-the-air TV in their market. Well, you got people living in those markets that don't want to watch those games. That's what this is all about. How much do I have to spend if I live in Pittsburgh but I want to watch the Dolphins? How much does it cost me to watch the Dolphins? It shouldn't cost me $400 a year to watch the Dolphins. I shouldn't have to pay to watch all the out-of-market games when I only care about one team. That's what this case is all about. And so the NFL violates the law, but the NFL gets a pass. And there's just something about that that doesn't sit well with me, and it shouldn't sit well with the consumers because they're the ones who have been screwed by this for 30 years.
So we're just moving on here. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. What do you think? Russell Wilson all of a sudden is injured, and Justin Fields taking advantage of it. Man, I think Justin Fields might end up getting the starting job out of this. What do you think happens?
Joe, here's the fundamental problem with what Russell Wilson did. Let's go back to March. The Broncos cut him. They owe him $38 million this year. So he says, hey, I'll stick it to the Broncos. I'll take the veteran minimum from some other team, and I'll make the Broncos pay me the rest of the $38 million, and I'll go be the starter somewhere else. So you take $1.2 million, you go to Pittsburgh, then – oh, they trade for Justin Fields. Well, I didn't know that was coming. Right. And now, if they decide to go with Fields, Joe, what's going to happen with Russell Wilson? He's a great value.
Yes.
He's your backup for $1.2 million. He's not going anywhere. And this is a critical year for him to be able to start and play. He's going to be 36 in November. He's had two bad years. And now he ends up behind Justin Fields. And if you're the Steelers, who do you want to win the starting job? You want the guy that's 10 years younger that could possibly be your quarterback for the next 7, 10 years or longer. So this is all playing into the Steelers' hands where Justin Fields is getting the opportunities. Russell Wilson has one of those injuries that you get when you get on the wrong side of 35. Those tendons, those ligaments, you know, when you're, especially when you're explosive and you accelerate, they're going to from time to time say, uh-uh, not anymore. You're too old for this crap. And so, yeah, this is great for Justin Fields. It's possibly great for the Steelers, and it's a nightmare scenario for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and by the way, Russell, this could be the start for Russell Wilson of you want to stay in this league, you're going to be everybody's backup for a couple of years. So you're right.
He's part of your Hall of Fame case.
Ooh, yeah. No, listen, it's going to be a fun one to watch because that really looked like it was going to be an open competition. I just didn't see this happening here before we even get into the regular season, so it's been crazy. So I got to ask you, the wide receiver contracts, man, the big three still out there kind of waiting to get a new contract. Matter of fact, you might as well put Tyreek Hill in there because the Dolphins are going to be taking care of him real soon too. Mike, how long? These guys don't miss games. Don't you think the teams step up? They want to get off to a good start. Don't they have to have these contracts done before the start of the season?
Well, you would like to think that it plays out that way. Now, for both Brandon Ayuk and C.D. Lamb, this has been hanging around the entire offseason. Lamb holds out. And we've seen what the Cowboys do when you have a high-profile holdout. They eventually cry uncle and pay.
Yes.
And so when the guy shows up, he's not ready to go. Like Ezekiel Elliott 5 years ago, after his holdout, he was like never the same player again after that. It was great for him to draw a line in the sand and get his money. But did the Cowboys really get value under that second contract? And they have to worry about that with Lamb now, too. He got so many targets last year, 181, had huge numbers, first-team All-Pro. So he's in a position to say, you know, I want market value. And they drag their feet. The market goes up. The price goes up. Same thing with the 49ers. They could have gotten Ayuk for $28 million a year back in March, April. Then the contracts start coming through. His price goes up, too. And he's not practicing, so he's not getting himself ready for the season. This is just a mess. And, you know, teams have to decide, Are we going to take care of our guys or are we not? The salary cap keeps going up every year. The money's there. The dollars are there. And there are just too many teams. And, you know, for as much as the Cowboys like to wrap themselves in that whole America's team flag, and, well, you'd be surprised the size of the check I'd write to win a Super Bowl. I think we'd be surprised because it would be pretty damn small with Jerry Jones. I think he's done a great job of hiding from the public the fact that he is cheap. And their cheapness ends up costing them more because, you know, these players don't roll out of bed and say, oh, you know what, I'll just take what they've been offering. I won't push for more. The players keep pushing for more, and the Cowboys keep painting themselves into a corner.
Mike, Tyreek Hill has been like, oh, I want Tua to get his contract done, and, man, you know, I'm up next. I don't want to do anything to, you know, upset anybody around here, but I, you know, they'll do the right thing. I got Drew working on it. They're going to take care of him, right, as the best player on this team. They have to redo it. No? You're not sold?
I don't know. There's different schools of thought, Joe. There are some that would say the Jalen Waddle contract at $28.5 million in new money in comparison to Tyree's contract, which is really 25, not 30. It got to 30 because there's a phony baloney $45 million balloon payment in 2026 that was specifically put in there so he can say, I'm making $30 million a year when everybody – who knows what's going on, knows he isn't.
Right.
There's a thought that this is part of the transition of Tyreek 1, Waddle 2, to Waddle 1, Tyreek 2, and Tyreek then offloaded at the appropriate time. So maybe the Dolphins won't do much. And I think the most they'll do is move some of the phony money from 26, the $45 million,
for this year,
into 24, where it's under $20 million. That's the most I think they'll do. And when you look at some of the things that Tyreek is saying, they represent concessions by him that he's not going to win this. So, you know, so he'll say, I'm not worried about the money. I'm just worried about winning. Yeah, because you're not going to get the money. And he knows if he pushes too hard, he's going to get dumped like the Chiefs dumped him. Because he said recently, he told Drew Rosenhaus, don't get me traded again. Well, you got yourself traded because in 2021, you were constantly complaining behind the scenes about not getting the ball enough. And then you wanted more money. And he was smart about not doing it publicly, but he was enough of a pain in the ass behind the scenes that they said, we're just done with this guy. And I think that's the challenge for him now. And I think he learned from what happened in Kansas City. He can't be so much of a pain in the Dolphins' ass that they say, we just got to move this guy somewhere else while we can.
I just, the other part of this, and by the way, it makes sense, but Mike, he's the best player in this football team.
Oh, he is, absolutely. Yeah. What's wrong with his picture? Tua at 53-1 and Tyreek at 25. That's how the Falcons got into an issue with Julio Jones 6 years ago. He woke up one day and he's like, wait a minute, I'm making $15 million a year and Matt Ryan's making $30 million a year because he throws me a four-yard pass and I run 60 yards with it. There's something wrong with this picture. And there's something clearly wrong with Tua getting what he's getting and Tyreek Hill getting what he's getting. Yeah. But the problem is, what can he really do to change the status quo? Because he doesn't want the Dolphins to trade him, because there's a certain point where it becomes obvious you're the problem. And I think he's seen, like, you see that with Stephon Diggs. You know, people are like, oh, he's the problem because he's been traded twice. And I think Tyreek desperately, he wants to stay with the Dolphins, number one. But number two, I think he desperately doesn't want to be traded twice, because then the reputation really starts to stick.
Mike, always appreciate it, man. Good stuff this morning. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, pal.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us. The Tyreek Hill thing. He's going to get his money this year. They're going to have a happy Tyreek. You sold? You just rolled your eyes. You're not sold either.
Well, I hope so. And by the way, I never thought of it the way he just put it. Like, yeah, Tua's making damn near double.
So
that is interesting.
So I thought originally, and everybody said, no, he's going to get an extension, that they would do what they did with Xavier Howard and just added money on to this year to make sure he's happy this year, right? We'll see. All right, we got to go to break here, Woody. We got more stuff to get to here. Check in on the text machine. Got a busy weekend coming up. Next week's going to be a blast. Kane's back in action. High school football is going to be starting up, and we're going to take a quick break.